How's it going, guys? And welcome to my NFL divisional round preview. I break down every single game. If you listen to my latest episode, I do talk about the Chiefs and Browns game there, but I will talk about it briefly in today's episode. But I do focus on the three other games happening this weekend. Super excited. Lots of stuff to talk about. Don't want to waste any time. Let's dive straight into this episode. And once again, welcome back to HQI Sports. I'm your host, Josh Hobbs. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of HQI Sports. I really do appreciate it. Just before we get started into this episode, just want to say very quickly to all my new listeners or anyone who's kind of new to the HQI Sports channel, be sure to go follow me on my social media accounts, specifically my Twitter account, which is HQI_sports. My Instagram account is Josh_Hobbs22. And also be sure to go subscribe to the YouTube channel, HQI Sports. Like I said before, really starting to grow that channel. I highly recommend you guys go subscribe to that. And also, if you are listening to this episode, be sure you are subscribed to HQI Sports, particularly on Apple Podcasts. I have found recently, for the people who are subscribed, that is when you find out instantly when a new episode goes out on live. If you aren't subscribed, it does take a little bit more time for that new episode to become available to listeners. So make sure you are subscribed if you are listening to this on Apple Podcasts. It might be the same case for other, you know, podcast websites, but for Apple Podcasts, make sure you are subscribed. Just want to say that very quickly. But yeah, here is the divisional round preview. I'm super excited. I've been watching a decent amount of film, you know, taking notes, and I really think this is the best preview show for the NFL divisional round that you can find for podcasts. I truly do believe that. And like I said, let's not waste any time. Let's dive straight into this first round of games. Now, for the episode, I was breaking down the NFL or Super Wildcard Weekend. I've already stated how much I dislike that name. We started with the AFC in terms of the breakdowns and previews. But for today's episode, I'm going to flip the script, and I'm actually going to start with the NFC round of games first. And let's start with the Packers and the Rams, the first game of the NFL divisional round. So at the first glance of this Packers and Rams matchup, I did have a few key ideas and thoughts that I wanted to answer when breaking down this game. And the first one was, how will the Packers offense fare against this Rams defense? And for anyone who has followed any football this season, or for anyone who did watch that Rams and Seattle matchup, the Rams defense is clearly the best defense left this entire playoff race by far. They were pretty much the best defense in the entire league, you know, heading up to the postseason. And now they have shown that the playoff or not, they are extremely good. Aaron Donald, he is a generational type player. Anyone who doubt that is just out of their mind. And then the move that the Rams acquired in Jalen Ramsey has really paid off. I think he's also helped bring up some of those young quarterbacks, because the secondary is also very lethal for the Rams defense. And, you know, Packers are coming off a bye. Are they going to be a little bit rusty? Maybe a little bit, but the Packers did play most of their... They actually had to play their starters in Week 17 because they had not clinched number one seed. So they've had a decent amount of time to rest, and they're going to need it, because this Rams defense is going to take a lot of work to kind of dissect and to get any ground upon. And I think the Packers offense can put up some decent yards and points against this Rams defense, but it's going to take a lot. It's going to take Aaron Rodgers to be at his top of his game, and also the Packers O-line is gonna have to be able to hold off, you know, Aaron Donald, and, you know, clear way for Aaron Jones to make some ground. So very interesting battle in this one. And also, I'm actually happy that I'm recording this when I'm doing this, because now it's been officially announced that Jared Goff will be the starter this coming Saturday. So that's very helpful. That was during the Super Wildcard Weekend breakdown. I had no idea who the Rams quarterback was, because Sean McVay basically said, I ain't gonna tell you, screw it. So this is a lot more helpful. But so knowing that Jared Goff is quarterback is definitely gonna help. Not that he is a massively good quarterback, but it does help in my prediction. And let's focus on, you know, the Packers' key to victory. Now, when looking at the Packers' keys to victory, I have two or three that really stick out to me after, you know, breaking everything down. The first is the Packers offense needs to find consistent, you know, methods of offense or keys to offense that are not Aaron Rodgers to Davante Adams. Now, obviously, Aaron Rodgers to Davante Adams is going to have a major impact on this game. Not saying it's not. Davante Adams has pretty much solidified himself as a top three receiver in this entire league. I respect a lot of his game, but Aaron Rodgers cannot just focus on Davante Adams, because I bet you not the Rams are focused on Jalen Ramsey taking away as much Davante Adams as they possibly can. But the Packers have really shown that they do have other weapons besides Davante Adams this season. You know, Robert Tonyan, you know, Valdez Scantling, they do have other weapons, and obviously Aaron Jones. I've already talked about briefly how important Aaron Jones is to this game, because I really think if the Packers become one-dimensional, it's really not going to be. That's actually the second point. The Packers cannot fall behind, and I don't think that's going to happen, but if they do, it's really bad for them, and let me explain why. Aaron Donald and Leonard Floyd and that whole Rams D-line is just trouble, and especially with left tackle David Bakhtiari out for the Packers, and the Packers do have a decent O-line besides that, but you don't want to rely on your O-line holding up against Aaron Donald and that front if you do fall behind. Now, fortunately for the Packers, they are going against Jared Goff. The Packers' defense isn't amazing, but it certainly isn't terrible. And if you are able to put pressure on Jared Goff, which I think they can, I think you'll have a pretty decent day in terms of the Packers' defense. So I'm not really worried about the Rams' offense putting up a ton of numbers in terms of the Packers' side. Now, to look at this game from the Rams' side of view, this is definitely not in the Rams' favor. Well, obviously, they're the five, or I think they're in the sixth seed in the NFC. I'm not exactly sure. But looking at this game from the Rams' side, they need to get the ground game going early. That is probably the most key important factor in this game, alongside, you know, slowing or not, I say probably containing that, you know, potent Packers offense. But Cam Akers has really shown up the second half of this season. I've been really high on him pretty much the entire year, and this is the game where he needs to prove that he is a starting back in this league and a damn good one as well. Because if you're able to get the ground game going, then that really opens up the offense for Jared Goff. Because when you put the whole offense on Jared Goff's back, the back always breaks. That's just Jared Goff is not talented enough. He's not durable enough. He's not mobile enough to, you know, carry the offense when it's needed to. And I think Sean McVay will always have a great game plan going to this game. And I really, and I hope that Cam Akers can show out, because if he doesn't, I think this game could be over within the first half. Like, I think the Packers could easily rout, even though the Rams defense will probably be able to hold them a little bit. If the Rams get nothing going, Aaron Rodgers is bound to just burst open that Rams defense, because the defense can't cover them forever. The Rams offense needs to be able to step up and make plays when they need to. But if I'm going to make a prediction for this game, here it is. Now, this game was definitely more difficult to call than most. I'm a real believer in the Rams defense. I truly am. I also know how good Aaron Rodgers and that Packers offense is. And while I think this game will be close for a majority of the game, I do think the Rams' inability to score enough points does hurt the Rams team in general, and the Packers have just too many good players. I think they do bust open a few, you know, big plays, and I think the Packers do take this game and move on to the NFC Championship. So, prediction for this game: Packers 27, Rams 19. I think if the Rams had a healthy Jared Goff, it could be even closer. But just having Jared, I think I talked about this, I think, in a previous episode. Jared Goff might be the worst quarterback left in the entire playoffs. I think it's between him and Baker Mayfield, but Baker Mayfield's been playing really good for a large portion of the season. So I think arguably Jared Goff is the worst quarterback left in the entire playoffs. In fact, if you actually put almost any other quarterback left in the playoffs on the Rams, or for the Rams quarterback, I think they have a really solid chance of winning this game. I truly believe that, but just the inability to score enough points and be consistent on offense hurts the Rams' chances of winning, and I think it's too much. So the Packers take this game 27-19. Now let's move on to the second game of the NFC side, which this year is Tampa Bay versus New Orleans. Now, This is a game I think a lot of people are excited for, and I am as well, even though it's actually not my number one, most exciting game this week. But obviously, the quarterback matchup is one to go down in the headlines and history. Tom Brady versus Drew Brees, the whole passing touchdown record, absolutely awesome, especially now with Drew Brees retiring after the season. You couldn't really ask for more in terms of the game. It would probably be a little bit more even cooler if this was like an NFC Championship game, but the fact we're having this game at all, can't complain. I am super excited. So at the first glance, this matchup, a few things come to mind to me personally. First thing is, this is the third matchup between these two teams of the entire season. It's rarely you have two teams match up three times, and this year it has happened, and both times New Orleans has pretty comfortably beaten the Tampa Bay, especially in that second matchup where they're up 31-0 at one point. Absolutely insane. That feels like forever ago. But yeah, same game, and there's a lot of different, I think there's a lot of different variables in this game, in my opinion. The first thing is, I feel really good about the Bucs. I just do. I actually said a few episodes ago, if Tampa Bay won their game against Washington, I might call them to make the Super Bowl. Like I think they are the Super Bowl favorite in the NFC side. That's because the way Tampa Bay has kind of built their team, it's not consistent. But if they get hot, you watch out. Tom Brady playoff Tom Brady, no one wants a part of. And then obviously the Tampa Bay defense is very inconsistent. But like I said, when they're good, they're great. And then obviously the wide receiver trio. Basically everything about the whole entire Tampa Bay Buccaneers team is inconsistent, but when they are trending upward, no one wants to face them. So let's look at the keys to victory for the Tampa Bay side. Now, the first thing I want to say is that second game of this matchup series between Tampa Bay and the New Orleans Saints, where the Saints just absolutely crushed them, that game is a complete outlier. That will no way happen in this game. I'm not saying that the Saints are going to lose to the Bucks. Not saying that immediately, at least, but that game is an outlier, so I'm not really taking that game into consideration for this matchup. So just want to say that quickly. Now, in terms of Tampa Bay getting the victory in this game, they are, like I said, if when they're trending upward, that is where Tampa Bay is at best, and that is at this point and where they're at in the season, that is happening, because their last matchup against Washington, a lot of Tampa Bay looked very good. Obviously, you know, the defense didn't look great against Taylor Heinicke or whatever his name is. You know, Taylor Heinicke definitely looks like an above average backup in the NFL, but that's a completely different story and take. But for Tampa Bay in this game, Tom Brady, no one, like I said, no one wants to face Tom Brady. Now he has seen the Saints defense three times. Now, you could look at it as a positive or a negative, but I think in terms of Tom Brady, you know, being that veteran and obviously being the so-called GOAT in terms of the NFL, obviously, I think that's going to help him. I think he's going to know what Sean Payton, or not Sean Payton, but the whole, you know, Saints defensive, you know, mindset is for or going into this game. And then Tom Brady, like I said, that outlier game, he definitely doesn't forget that. And I don't think Tom Brady gets embarrassed twice anytime in his career, especially in one season. So I think this whole game pretty much revolves on Tom Brady, as do, you know, most Tampa Bay games. But I think the Tampa Bay offense has a real shot to go pretty ballistic on offense, especially. And the kind of the flip side to that, I think the Tampa Bay defense also has a decent chance of containing Drew Brees in that Saints offense. But let's look at the Saints' key to victory. So in their last game for New Orleans, they absolutely demolished the Chicago Bears, which they should have. The Chicago Bears were not a playoff team. They just played some very bad teams for the past month, and they had snuck into the playoffs. So the fact that the Saints took care of business, it wasn't quick, but they did take care of business, is a good sign for me. Now, that is one of the only good signs I actually see from the Saints team in recent weeks. Drew Brees has looked very old, which he has for the majority of the season. You know, they haven't had Michael Thomas out there a lot, but he is out there now. Alvin Kamara has been, you know, one of the few, you know, key bright spots for this team. He's an absolutely awesome dynamic running back. I love everything that he brings to the table. And obviously that Saints defense is always going to be rock solid, even though I do think he gives up more yards than you think. And here's the biggest thing for this game. If Tampa Bay goes up early, I think it's very troublesome for the Saints. And also, a big part of this game is the Tampa Bay run defense is very good, as is both teams. Both teams have very good run defenses, so I think this can turn into a battle of the quarterbacks, which I think everyone wants to see. So if the running games aren't going for both teams, I'm obviously going to take Tom Brady over Drew Brees, because even though Tom Brady's older, he is by far the better quarterback in his career right now. Drew Brees has really been struggling to get the passing attack going, even with Michael Thomas on the field. And then Tom Brady with all those weapons, I think there's a real advantage for the Tampa Bay in this matchup, if that does become the case, which I think it very well could be. Now, how do you get Tom Brady off his game or uncomfortable? Well, the recipe for that has always been known for many years. You put pressure on Tom Brady, and the Saints D-line and pass rush definitely has the ability to do so. I don't think it's elite, but I definitely think it's rock solid, especially with Cam Jordan and Trey Hendrickson being excellent pass rushers in general. So if the Saints are able to hit home with their pass rush and be able to stop the run, that is definitely preferred, and that could definitely flip the game on its head. There's literally so many scenarios where I could see this game going. You know, I could see Tom Brady just absolutely just slicing and dicing the Saints defense. I could see Alvin Kamara and Drew Brees just slowly, you know, just beating the Tampa Bay just slowly. There's honestly so many different scenarios for this game. But if I had to give a prediction, here's my prediction. Like I said before, if Tampa Bay won their game against WFT, I was going to say Tampa Bay makes the Super Bowl. And I'm going to double down on that prediction. I'm going to say Tampa Bay takes the upset and they continue the New Orleans Saints' tragic home playoff losses in this game. I think Tom Brady just... I think when he got embarrassed, and I said before in this prediction that the second match of this game doesn't matter. It doesn't. I think Tom Brady, I think it matters to the players more it does for just the game in general, if that makes any sense. But I think Tom Brady has kept that game in his mind the entire season. I think they've worked for this entire game. They've seen everything New Orleans has to offer. And I think that run defense really slows down the best part of that Saints offense in Alvin Kamara. So I think it really tips the balance in Tampa Bay's favor. Plus Tom Brady, you don't mess with playoff Tom Brady. You just don't, especially when he has a decent team around him. So I have Tampa Bay taking this game 31-28, and officially, if this does happen, which I do believe it will, ending Drew Brees' career. Wow, that last line really made me sad for a second, but that is the way I believe it's going to happen, and those are my NFC divisional round predictions. But we still got technically one more game to go. Let's talk about the Baltimore Ravens and the Buffalo Bills. Now, for most people, I think that Tampa Bay and New Orleans game is probably the game of the, you know, divisional round, if you want to say. But for me, I'm not sure if it's because my team's an AFC team. This is 100% the most exciting game I want to see besides, you know, obviously my Chiefs game. So I honestly can't wait for this game tomorrow. Well, you can tell I'm recording this. I there's so many different factors for this game. I could see the outcomes going in 100 different ways. But at first glance, here's what I see for this game. Now, I think one of the most important matchups in this entire game is, can the Baltimore defense contain the Buffalo offense? Now, obviously, Josh Allen, that entire Buffalo offense has been incredibly potent. They've probably been top three, in my opinion, almost the entire season. Josh Allen has developed into a quarterback I never thought he could even come close to be. I think he could be a solid quarterback, but he has become easily a top five quarterback in this league. And Baltimore's defense has had many ups and downs the entire season, but they've overall stayed pretty solid. They had a really nice showing against Tennessee, especially in the second half of that game. And I think they definitely had a chance to carry over that performance into this game. Another thing I want to keep a track of is, how is Buffalo going to contain Lamar Jackson? Because if you look at the Buffalo defense, they are decent against the pass, but they are terrible against the run, and especially bad against mobile quarterbacks, which is exactly what Lamar Jackson is, a mobile quarterback who can just annihilate you with his legs. He showed that ability against Tennessee, and he literally beat Tennessee with his legs. Another thing I want to keep track of is, you know, I think Josh Allen is, I think Josh Allen is a remarkable talent. I think he's going to be in this league for a number of years. He still has limited playoff experience. So I am questioning how Josh Allen is going to respond when these are easily probably the brightest lights that have ever been on the young quarterback. Now, let's first talk about the keys to victory for Buffalo. I want to talk about Buffalo first. Obviously, Buffalo has been arguably the hottest team in the league for the second half of the season. After that, you know, lost to Arizona, they've been arguably probably, I say, the deadliest team in the league, especially offensively. And that last game, though, versus Indianapolis, though, they look shaky. You can debate it however you want. They look shaky, and I really wasn't expecting that game to be that close. Phillip Rivers, I think, well, I talked about in my previous episode, if there were any other quarterback, pretty much, I even said if Joe Burrow was the quarterback for the Colts, I think the Colts win that game, because I think Phillip Rivers was decent in other parts, and when they needed him the most, he was just Phillip Rivers, you know, always letting you down. Sorry, Phillip Rivers, it's just how I feel. But I think the Buffalo defense definitely showed some signs that they really can't stop the run at all. And also, flip side, Buffalo really struggles at running the ball. That's just the fact. They can throw the ball as well as pretty much anyone, but when it comes to running the ball consistently, it's not a strong suit of them. I don't care what you think. And going against this Baltimore run defense, it could become a real problem, because, you know, if you force the Bills to be one-dimensional and just always rely upon Josh Allen, I think that's not terrible, but like I said, this is easily the biggest game Josh Allen has ever been a part. And is he going to fold under the bright lights? I don't think so. I mean, he's been playing so well pretty much the entire season, but it just, you never want to go to a game, you know, just banking on your quarterback to make plays, especially when your quarterback is very young like Josh Allen is. So in other words, basically what I'm trying to say is, Buffalo, I really hope you don't just rely upon Josh Allen to win you this game. That's basically what I'm saying. Now, on the flip side, for the Buffalo defense, obviously, in terms of stats, not a good matchup for the Buffalo defense at all. They're facing pretty much the number one rushing offense in the entire league, especially in the playoffs, and they're facing easily the most mobile quarterback in the entire league in the playoffs. Now, obviously, you know, I don't think it's going to be a complete, you know, murder scene on Buffalo. It's supposed to be very cold. I don't think it's supposed to snow anymore, but I definitely think it's going to be very cold, which, you know, I don't think Lamar Jackson, you know, is a fan of the cold, just saying. But can the Buffalo defense be able to contain, you know, that, you know, Baltimore, you know, style of running attack? I don't think so, but I don't think it's going to be, like I said, I don't think it's going to be awful. I think it's going to be very, I don't think it's going to be great, but I think Lamar Jackson definitely breaks off for some runs and really hurts, you know, this Buffalo defense. But now let's move on to Baltimore, you know, keys to victory, which in my opinion is really focused around just two things. One, if Baltimore wants to have any chance of winning this game, they need to play their best defensive session of football of the entire season. This Buffalo offense, even if you take away its running game, which most teams usually are able to do, they can kill you through the air. They are pretty much just as potent as the Kansas City air attack. Josh Allen and the combination of Stephon Diggs, you know, now Gabriel Davis as well, and obviously Cole Beasley, those pieces alone are enough to win you the game. And Baltimore does have talented players in the secondary and also along the D-line. I'm not saying they don't. But they are susceptible to big plays and also big penalties. You know, Marlon Humphrey has been penalized a lot this year. And Marcus Peters, I know the guy very well. Yes, he can definitely pick you off some balls and force some fumbles. But my God, can Marcus Peters get beat on the big play? Yes, he can. So if Baltimore is able to kind of hold, you know, the Buffalo offense to under 30, that would be incredible. Do I think they can do it? Maybe. Is it likely? No. But if they do, you know, hold Buffalo under 30, I think they have a real shot of winning this game. Now, offensively, here's what I think Baltimore needs to do. They need to get this ground game going early. They need to lean on it hard, because Buffalo, if they get it going right, Buffalo is not going to stop it. They just don't have the talent and the pieces you need to be able to contain this running game that Baltimore has. You know, I think J.K. Dobbins and Gus Edwards are perfect for this game, especially if this game turns cold. I really think they are in a really decent situation here, and especially Lamar Jackson, he's going to have time in the pocket, but I still think Baltimore, if they get that ground game going early, then it will open up lanes in the passing game. You can hit Mark Andrews. You can try some shots with Hollywood Brown. Maybe you can give it a couple balls to Willie Snead in there. But if you get the ground game early, it's going to really open up the offense in general. I really hope the cold, doesn't affect Lamar too much, because I think this game could honestly go down in the history books. But I think Baltimore has a real shot to, kind of bust open this game if things go their way. Now, in terms of what Baltimore needs to do on defense, here is the story in my opinion. Josh Allen, obviously incredible talent, but I think if you make him uncomfortable, kind of similar to Tom Brady, I definitely think he's not the smartest, not to question the guy's intelligence, but he just hasn't been in the league long enough, and Baltimore blitzes more than literally any other team in the league. Can you fool Josh Allen in some of those blitz packages? I think you can. I think Marlon Humphrey, the combination of Marlon Humphrey and Marcus Peters, can take away some of those Buffalo pieces on offense. Can you take away them enough consistently? I'm not sure. But I think Baltimore does have a chance to kind of, stymie Josh Allen, at least in the first half. I think I'm actually going to make a prediction here. I would be surprised if Buffalo scores more than 14 points in the first half. I think the amount of blitz packages, the key pieces they have in the secondary, I think Baltimore has a real shot to kind of slow down the Bills offense initially, and then come second half, I think Buffalo definitely makes some changes, to get more points, to get more big plays. And I think this game ultimately comes, either way, this game is going to be super close, super exciting. But at the end, if I had to make a prediction, here's my prediction. I honestly went back and forth on this game so many times. Like, this is easily by far the hardest game to call in the entire playoffs so far. And after thinking long hard about it and just going with my gut, I'm going to take the upset in this game. I feel like Baltimore is just trending in the right direction. The key in the playoffs, really, is just the trend in the right direction. That's why a lot of people in the media think Kansas City is kind of the sleeper, upset pick. But either way, trending up in the playoffs is so valuable and so important to get victories in the NFL playoffs. And I think that's exactly what Baltimore does. I think Lamar Jackson, he finally gets that first playoff win under his belt, and I think he gets a lot more comfortable and a lot more confidence. And I've said this before, this Bills defense is nothing to be scared about. It can be thrown on, it can be ran on, and it can be, it can be toyed with. It really can. And that was not the case a few years ago, but it is the case now. Maybe that's a little bit too, judgmental against that Colts showing, but I think Lamar Jackson has a great game. I think he kind of reminds the world that he was the MVP last year. He's a transcendent talent. He's a generational talent. And I think Baltimore takes this game 34-31. I really think Lamar Jackson, I think I could even see a scenario where Lamar Jackson takes on a game-winning drive and wins this game. I think there's just too many things going right for Baltimore and too many things, getting a little bit cloudy with Buffalo. And, Josh Allen just kind of limited playoff experience. Not to say that Lamar Jackson has lots. He doesn't. But I just like Baltimore in this game. It is what it is. Baltimore takes this victory, and they move on to the AFC Championship. So there you have it. Those are the three other games broken down with my predictions. Like I said before, in my last episode, I did break down that Chiefs and Browns game entirely. If you guys want to go back and listen to that episode, I'll actually just talk about it very quickly here. I really don't have any new thoughts on the game right now. It was just announced actually, very recently, the Chiefs will be without Sammy Watkins and a couple other key players. Does that affect the game? I think slightly. I think Sammy Watkins is a vital piece of this offense. But I think the combination of Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill is just too much for this Browns secondary. Plus, they also got Mecole Hardman. They got DeMarcus Robinson. Also, the Chiefs will be just fine on offense, I can assure you that. And then Browns, it looks like the Browns are going to be without tackle Jack Conklin. That's definitely going to hurt. I think everything else for the Browns is okay. I know Myles Garrett has been dealing with a shoulder injury, but I'm pretty darn sure he's going to play. So no new thoughts on that game. I do think the Chiefs take that game. I definitely think it could be a close game, but I think the Chiefs at home, and with that bye, Andy Reid off a bye, no one better. And I think the Chiefs do move on to the AFC Championship, where in my prediction, I think it's going to be Chiefs-Ravens. And then over the NFC side, I think it's going to be Packers and Tampa Bay. And my oh my, Championship weekend is going to be a lot of fun. But we first got to get through this divisional round. And here, and those are my predictions. And I hope, and that's going to wrap up this episode. So I really hope you guys enjoyed it. Like I said before, be sure to go follow my social media accounts. Be sure to go subscribe to my YouTube channel. And also be sure, this is very important, be sure to go subscribe to HKI Sports on Apple Podcasts so you make sure you know when all new episodes are uploaded so you guys can listen to them when they are brand new. But yeah, that's going to wrap up this episode, and I'll see you guys next time.